God wants to settle the score. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by God settling the score? What I mean by that is that God is going to bring to pass the things that he had already declared over our lives. That there are promises declared, spoken, that have not been fulfilled, but God wants to bring those dreams, those hopes, those prophetic statements to pass. Amen? God is going to settle the score. Now, I'm going to come at it by reading a lot of scriptures to save me some extra time, because the scriptures will be self-explanatory. And at some other time, I'm going to visit these particular passages of scripture and address them. The sound system is not sounding right, so there's a hiss or whatever it is that's happening. Please correct that. Genesis 49, book of Genesis, chapter 49, and verse 14. This is where the original statement is made, Genesis 49 and verse 14. Okay, I have my verse wrong, so verse 19, I apologize. Genesis 49 and verse 19. The word says, God, a troop shall overcome him. God, a troop shall overcome him. But he shall overcome at the last. God, a troop shall overcome him. But he shall overcome at the last. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. Solves that problem. God, a troop, shall overcome him. That is a statement, a very blatant statement. Here is the man of God prophesying over his children, and he comes to his son, God, and he says, a troop shall overcome him. That doesn't sound like a blessing. But it was a factual statement. A troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. Why is a troop going to overcome him? Because God is going to make certain decisions. As the children of Israel were going to the promised land, they came to a spot just before they crossed over. The very first victory they won, and they decided, wow, we like this place. We would like to stay over here. They didn't want to cross over to the promised land that God had for them. That was the first telling sign that these people are going to have a problem. Two, Gad and Reuben made that decision. Now, let me put that aside for a moment, because we're going to come particular passage of scripture where we are going to deal with this settling the score. The promise has been made. God is going to be overcome, but the greater promise is, but he shall overcome at last. So I say, he shall overcome. He shall overcome. He shall. Not he should. He shall overcome at the last. That means at the end of God's story, it will be said of God that he overcame. Not that he was overcome. He started out being overcome, but he shall become the one that will overcome at the end. Amen? But let's go through some of the background, and let's look at Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32. I'm going to begin reading from about verse 2 through 6, and then I'm going to do a real fast reading from 29 to about 42, if I elect to. Genesis 32, verse 2 through 6. He said, "And when Jacob saw them, he said, 'This is God's host.' He called the name of that place Mahanaim. Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, into the land of Seir, the country of Edom." Genesis 32. "And he commanded them, saying, 'Thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau, thy servant Jacob said, thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now.'" I think I got you the wrong verse. Anyhow, the passage of scripture I wanted to read to you is a passage of scripture where the children of Israel come to Moses and they are asking Moses for the particular turf, the particular land that they wanted and didn't want to cross over to the promised land. And if you can find me that particular passage, I'll really appreciate it. Anyway, so they are in that particular setting. Moses looks at them and says, "Listen, if you want to stay here, you can stay. But you will not have any inheritance in the promised land if you don't cross over with the rest of the family of God to win the battles in the promised land." And so they said, "Well, we'll cross, we'll fight with them on the other side and make sure that they get their turf, but we like this side of the country." Now, this will remind you again that Jesus said, "Let us go on to the other side." Are you with me so far? It was because of that they were going to the other side. The other side was the side that was not supposed to be the part of Israel, which is present-day Jordan. And so Jesus is going to do something that seems to be not that customary, because he said, "God has sent me to the household of Israel." And he stayed in the area of Israel. He stayed in the Galilee. He stayed in all of these areas, but God had his mind set on God. He had taken God, he had taken Reuben out of Egypt too. They have made a decision to hang around on the wrong side of the Jordan, but God still was targeting them. "I want these people. I don't want to lose them." And the message I want to first of all bring to you today is this: that you may have made wrong decisions, but God has not forgotten that you belong to him. Amen? He has not forgotten that you belong to him. You may have settled on one side of the Jordan, and God is still targeting you. The Bible says about Elijah and Elisha, that Elijah moved steadily backwards, so to speak, heading back, and he came to Jericho and he crossed the Jordan. It was on the other side, the side of God, that he crossed over to, where Elisha got his double portion anointing. Are you with me? I am saying, child of God, God has not forgotten. He will settle the score. And you may think, "I am lost over here. Nobody knows about me anymore." And God is saying, "No, I still know. I have never forgotten. I don't lose anybody. I am coming back for you. I am going to collect you, and I'm going to take you into your place of promise. I am going to turn your bad situation around and cause my glory to be revealed, even in that place that seems to be horrible, that you thought was good. I have a greater plan and a greater purpose there. If you will let me, I will come to you and I will help you there. You may have been overcome by a troop, but at the end, you will overcome. Somebody shout hallelujah. This is the plan of God. Elijah says to Elisha, stay in Gilgal. He says, no, I'm not staying here. I'm coming with you. And he's moving backwards, heading to the Jordan. And he says, stay in Bethel. The man says, no, I don't stay there. And he comes to Jericho. Jericho is the first city on this side of the promise. It's the first city that the people of God defeated. And he says, stay here, it's a good place. Man, Elisha says, absolutely not. And he parted the Jordan. Are you with me? And he crossed over to the other side. Now, that's the side where he crossed over to. That's the side that Israel first fought the first, very first battle. And won against Og. And another day, I'm going to spend my time on this particular subject because it is very important. So he crosses over, and it is there that God took Elijah up, and Elijah received his mantle, and he struck the Jordan, and the water parted again, and he crossed over into the land of Israel. Amen? You're with me now, geographically? Okay. So, here's Jesus. He says in Mark chapter 4, Mark chapter 4 and verse 30, Mark 4 and verse 30, Gospel of Mark chapter 4 and verse 30. The Lord is going to get the children of Israel to cross over. But before he tells them that, he's ministering to the people. And he starts out stating this particular parable. He says, and he said, whereunto shall I, or shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed. Somebody say, a grain of mustard seed. A grain of mustard seed is supposed to be the smallest of seeds. It says, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. So he starts out talking about this mustard seed, and how it grows, and how the birds of the air come and find shelter underneath. But without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. And the same day, when the even was come, he said unto them, let us, what? Pass over unto the other side. Why is he going over? He said, I am only here for the household of Israel, meaning the people that were on this side. Why is he crossing over to the other side? Because on the other side, there was a case that needed to be settled. This is a case that came about by the prophetic statement of the Father of God, who said, Gad shall be overcome by a troop, but at the end, he shall overcome. At the end, he's going to overcome. There is a set time. I don't know who you are and why you are here today, but this I do know, that God has a set time. That set time is a time that he has marked out as a time that shall not take you past what you are struggling with. A time that will bring to an end whatever is paining you, whatever it is that is causing you to struggle. God is saying, I am going to bring it to an end. You have been with this situation for such a long time, but today it will end. Somebody shout hallelujah. Let us go on to the other side. But at the end, he shall overcome. And when they had sent away the multitude, sent away everybody, he says, they took him as even as he was in the ship. Now, that statement is very cloaked. That statement is very, very cloaked. It's a very cloaked statement because in the original language, it is telling us something so much more deep. Say, Pastor, what is it? What was it saying? I don't know if you're ready for this. Because when it says, and when they had sent everybody out, they took him even as he was. They took him even as he was. They took him. Nobody needs to take Jesus. What happened? He had been ministering for such a long time, and there was a battle on the other side that needed to be addressed, and it was like he was a crazy man. They had to carry him. It was like he'd lost his mind. The battle was intense. I don't know what battle God needs to pick up for you or pick up for me, but if it means that he is going to act like a crazy man, he is going to take up any battle that faces you, and he will fight it until he wins it. That was how intense it was. They had to carry him. It was almost like they had to chain him up, because he'd lost his mind. Took him, put him in the ship. It says, and there were also with him other little ships. I like that word. There were with him other little ships. When God crosses you over, he doesn't cross you over just by yourself. Hallelujah. There were other little ships that were crossing. And the cross, he says, while this is happening, there arose a great storm. The devil still trying to mess with Jesus. He wants to bring to pass the fulfillment of a promise that was made. And there was battle going on. And I hear God saying, I am fighting on your behalf. When God fights for you, it is a battle that he wins. And it is already won. But today, in the name of Jesus, we are going to carry with us the Lord Jesus. We are going to say, Lord, I believe in you. No matter what state I see you now, I believe that you are my mighty warrior. You are my overcomer. And you will win this battle for me. I am not backing off. I am not backing off. I am pushing forward. I continue now. In the name of Jesus, let every enemy be brought down by the authority of the word of God. The storm rose, the wind blew, the waves beat upon the ship, so that it was now full, the Bible says. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Oh, I like this. He's asleep on a pillow and they awake him. If the ship is full of water and he is at the lower part and he is laying down on a pillow, how don't you wake up? How deep of a sleeper are you that you are not waking up? I don't know what miracle the Lord did or God did that day, but this one thing I do know. If God needs to keep the water from you to keep you dry, he will do it. And they say to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Don't you care that we perish? Why are you still sleeping? There's this storm, this big storm, and the boat is getting filled with water, and you are lying down there like you don't care. No, he cared. See, because one of the most powerful keys to victory is that you have got to know that you've already won the battle before you start. He'd already finished it. That craziness, oh my God, that craziness that he was experiencing was him taking all the craziness that he was going to deal with on the other side. May God take all of your troubles. Let him pull all of it unto himself. He had taken it all. He had already won the battle, and now he's relaxing. The battle is over. Hallelujah. So the Bible says, he arose and he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? We've been hanging around this guy. What kind of a person is this guy? That he just comes up, wakes up from sleep, and he just says, wind, stop it. Peace be still. Notice what he did. He spoke to the wind first before he spoke to the water. What is he doing? He's dealing with the root issue, because it is the wind that is troubling the water. And even if he says, peace be still to the waters, and the waters around him are still, the wind will be creating more problems and generating the same situation, and it keeps on going around and around, dealing with the same thing over and over. You need to go to the roots of the problem, deal with the root, so that you can address what you are seeing here. Too many times, we are reacting and not responding. May God grant us supernatural grace to respond and not react. Amen? He says, and they came over onto the other side of the sea, into the country of the what? Gadarenes. Remember Gad? And when he was come out of the ship, immediately, someone say immediately, they met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. A man with what? An unclean spirit. How many spirits is that? One. One. Who had his dwelling among the tombs. This way he dwelt, among the tombs. What do you have amongst tombs? Dead people. a symmetry. And no man could bind him. Nobody could what? Bind him. No, not with chains. And this, please hear what I'm about to say to you now. I remember I was sharing from this passage a few years back, and the Lord said something very striking to me. He said, when you're a person of purpose, and God has his design on you, and has a will that and an intent that he has established in your spirit, he says, no man can bind you. I said, what do you mean? He said, you will break everything that they try to put on you. You will always break it because your destiny says, I am free. I cannot be here. And in a way, this man was demonstrating, while he was in his bondage, he was demonstrating the fact that he is not meant to be there. When God has his hand on you, there will be contradictory statements about your life. People will say, I know there's greatness here, but why is this happening? Don't lose heart. Because the greatness that is in you cannot be shut up. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him. Plucked it asunder. Broke the chains. And the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. He could not be tamed. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. What is that? He's cutting himself with stones. You know, someone may say, well, this man has mental issues. Yeah, he might have a disease of some sort, psychological stuff. That's true. And we see those things happening today. There are people that cut themselves today. But Lord said something to me. He said, the reason he had to cut himself was because he was always amongst dead people. And when he cut himself, he was saying, I am not like you. I am alive. In my natural mind, I could not fathom what was being said. But the Lord said, this is what happens with people that I have a plan and a purpose for. They will, in very special, significant ways, prove that they are different from the status quo. And I'm coming for them. I am coming for them. God is coming for everyone here today that's been stuck and limited. This is a man. He knows I'm different. He knows I cannot be held up by chains. He knows I'm alive. I can bleed. He knows all of that. But he's still in bondage. He couldn't get out of the symmetry. That's where he belonged. He had been overcome by the troop. He says, when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and what? Worshipped him. That was the deeper level of this man. Demons don't just come running and worshiping. But he has this dual personality here. The personality that says, I am a child of God. I belong to the family of God. I belong here. And the part that said, no, you should be in bondage. And he says, no, I cannot be in bondage. You should stay with dead people. You are dead. No, I'm alive. Resist the devil, and he must flee. Hallelujah. I said, resist the devil, and he must flee. The devil's a liar. This man, even in his dire state, was still pushing on. When you see a person that keeps on pushing on in spite of whatever it is that is being spoken about them, being done to them, but they keep on being resilient, help them. Help them. Because that's a person that has a mark of God on them. Bible says, the first shall be last, and the last shall become first. He ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus? That's that foul, evil, unclean spirit now speaking. Thou Son of the Most High God, I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou what? Unclean spirit. Jesus knew it was an unclean spirit. One. And he asked him, what is thy name? Watch this now. Watch this. He asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is what? Legion. For we are what? Many. When Jesus talked to it, it said, we are many. He didn't say, I'm one. He said, we are many. We're legion. We're a troop. A legion is a troop. But we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send, what is that word? Them. From one unclean spirit to now them. That's more than one now. Send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils and all the what? Devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them. That's not singular anymore. Gave them. Leave. And the unclean what? Spirits. When did it change? When Jesus allowed that demoniac to speak and say it was many. It was one. But when he said we are many, it became the many. He said, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm saying to you and to me, don't give the devil a voice. Don't give the devil a voice. Because the voice that you give to the devil becomes the new reality. And so many times, we give the devil a voice. We let the devil to speak. And when he speaks, whatever it is that he's saying, that is what becomes the new reality. And that's the new battle you're going to fight. But Jesus knew how to deal with it because he had already dealt with it before he got there. It says, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the what? The devil. Not devils now. The devil is back. And had legion. He was one demonic spirit, and he had been overcome by legion. And when he said, my name is legion, he was saying, my name is a troop. And Jesus said, that's exactly what I came to deal with. Jesus wanted the enemy to all be gathered in one place so he can deal with them at one time. Let every enemy that has been set up against you be gathered together
in one spot, and may God crush them all at the same time. You know, people say, when it rains, it pours. And what they're saying is, you know, I have this problem, and when that problem started, another one started, and another one started, and another one started. When am I going to have a break? All these problems, all at the same time. Celebrate with thanksgiving and say, thank you, Lord, that every enemy set up against me is all here. And with one swoop, you are going to take them all out one time in Jesus' mighty name. Yeah, my children are acting crazy. My husband is acting crazy. My finances are falling apart. My business is falling apart. My health, I just went and the doctor said, I have this kind of a disease. God, what is going on? Celebrate. Say, thank you, Lord. You are going to settle the score today. Every enemy shall be taken out today. I shall not see these enemies tomorrow, because today will be the end of it. Amen? They came and they saw the man that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. He's now in his right mind. He's seated, he's clothed, and they were afraid. And they said, Jesus, come stay with us. We really appreciate this. No, 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 no. They said, leave town. Just get out of here. We don't want you here. Why? They had a failure of crops. All of their swine is in the water, dead. That's business problems. And those were the swine that they were feeding to the gods that they were worshiping on the other side. They sacrificed it. Jews don't raise pigs. But when you decide to settle on the other side, guess what? You will do what the people on the other side do. Aren't you glad that God did not leave them there? That is still, I see you messed up. I'm still going to come for you. While we're yet sinners, Christ died. The godly for the ungodly. And God is meeting you right where you are right now. You must not discount yourself from the family of God and reject the goodness of God. These people, they said, Jesus, leave. We don't want you. They began to pray him to depart out of their coast. But the problem was already solved. That whole turf now belongs to God. See what happened? He left the man that was demonized there. And that man, when Jesus finally comes back, that one man had won 10 cities. 10 cities. The Decapolis, they were all won to God. One man. One with God is a majority. Hallelujah. I said one with God is a majority. God had already addressed the situation and made it possible for that one man that was such in a dire state, such in a bad state, everybody knew him. The crazy guy. And here he comes with his nice tie and nice tucks. And he has a Bible, so to speak. And he's preaching, Jesus saves. And guess what? You had to believe it because you knew him. For years, he's been amongst the dead. Nobody could control him. And here he is preaching. Nice, well-shaven. And people are looking at him. Is that the same guy? The man is handsome. Wow. All the women were looking for the crazy guy to marry now. Hallelujah. No holding back. God settled the score. Now I want you to know that he is doing that right now for you and for me. One man, turning the nations around. In Mark 5, I believe it's around verse 18 or 19, maybe even 20, he goes to the Decapolis. And he turns 10 cities around. Oh, thank you. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. That people marvel because of the greatness of God that you are displaying in the mighty name of Jesus. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you are this day settling the score. The prophetic statements that have been made, you are making certain that which needs to be done is done. You accomplished it for this man with the unclean spirit that had been overcome by the legion, by the troop. But his last days had now come. And now his deliverance was made clear. You took on that battle and you won it. Lord, take up the battles that face us as individuals, as families, as the church. The battles that face us as businesses, whatever the battles that face your people, the health battles, the financial battles, the relational battles, the spiritual battles, the emotional, mental battles, the political battles, whatever battles, Lord, take them up for us. Deal with them and grant to us the victory that you have promised. Let the battle be over. Let it now be finished. Let it now be done. Finish it, O God. Finish it, O God. Finish it, O God. Finish it, O God. Settle the score. Let your people march victoriously, knowing, O God, that you have won the battle for them, and the victory is theirs forever. In Jesus' mighty name, we call it so done. And all of God's put together in agreement said, yes and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God for every one of you. I thank God that he is raising up a people that will live their lives fully for him. You're not here by accident. You're here because God wanted you to hear this word today. Everyone, those of you that are listening right this very moment through this stream, or maybe listening later on by going to the archives, or listening because you purchased this particular series. As you hear this word today, be rest assured that this battle that God has taken up on your behalf is a battle that he will never lose, that he has not lost. He's won it, and your victory is established now. Receive it as you say these words with me. Lord, you have settled the score, and I've come up on the other side of this challenge. I am more than a conqueror. In Christ Jesus, victory is now mine. Amen and amen.